And that's going to do it. Wichita State led by 20-plus for almost all the second half. They ended at 20 and get to 2-8 in the league. They win it going away in this one.
And welcome back to the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit. Your home for fast, friendly auto repair. As Wichita State last night, the Wichita State men picking up a win in the American Athletic Conference, beating University of Texas San Antonio 84-64. Shockers led 44-24 at halftime, and Colby Rogers led 18, Harlan Beverly a 16. Wichita State now 10-13, 2-8 in the AAC. Local sports, yesterday Beloit High School senior Maddox Waters signed his letter of intent to play football at the University of Central Missouri. Waters is a four-year letter winner and two-year captain for Brad Gober's Beloit squad. He was selected to multiple All-State teams in 2A as a senior and a first-team All-NCAA league tight end as well. In a run-first offense, most of Waters' contributions during his final season at tight end came as a blocker. When given the chance in the passing game, 40% of the catches he made were for touchdowns, as he caught 10 passes for 197 yards and 4 touchdowns in 9 games. Over his final two seasons, Waters had 17 catches or 385 yards and 7 touchdowns, and he plans to major in kinesiology at the University of Central Missouri. St. John's Tipton Jr. Carly Brummer has been named the NCKSports.com Cunningham Telephone Cable Athlete of the Week. Brummer has excelled of late during a 6-game winning streak for the Lady Blue Jays basketball team. She has scored in double figures in each of the last 6 games and has upped her average in the past 4 games. On the season, Brummer is averaging just under 15 points per game for St. John's Tipton. Her top game was last Tuesday night, January the 30th, where she scored a career-high 31 in a win over Thunder Ridge. And the Tuesday prior to that set her previous career-high of 28 in a win over Bennington in Beloit. Over the past 4 games, Brummer is averaging 22 points per game. She scored 14 in the Lady Jays win over Lakeside on Tuesday night. High school basketball, a few games going on tonight, Dusty.
Yeah, there are a couple of Northern Plains League games on the schedule here for this evening. Carly Brummer will be playing for the Lady Jays of St. John's Tipton, and the St. John's Tipton boys as well will play tonight. They host Osborne makeup game from earlier this year that they missed in early January, and then Sylvan Lucas at Thunder Ridge tonight as well in the Northern Plains League. So let's look at what's going on as far as tonight is concerned with basketball. Also, we do have high school basketball locker room chats on our station here on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com at around 5:15 this evening as we talk with the head coaches of St. John's Tipton, Lakeside, and Rock Hills. So be tuning in for that. Also online, katycountry94.com on our locker room chat podcast if you ever miss our locker room chats live. So let's look at hoops here tonight, and also high school wrestling this evening. It's senior night over in Beloit. They're having a potato bar at 5:30, and then the wrestling will start at 6:30 this evening. A fundraiser for the wrestling team here tonight. So, and then Smith Center is hosting Republic County tonight at 6 o'clock in a duel as well. So that's a look at what's going on as far as local sports are concerned here today. Did have a couple area athletes that actually got some honors in the college ranks as well. And Brady Pullen, you can read about him at GoShockers.com. For the second time this year in the indoor track and field season, the Beloit native was named the American Athletic Conference Field Athlete of the Week. He had a season best 7 1/2 inch jump in the high jump at the Frank Savina Invitational in Lincoln this past weekend in Nebraska. And it's currently second in the AAC, 17th in the nation. You can read more about Pullen again at GoShockers.com. And also softball underway for the Jayhawk Conference, and Beloit grad and Butler freshman Chloe Odell was named the Kansas Jayhawk Conference Pitcher of the Week as she pitched 9 innings over 2 games, allowed just 1 earned run with 19 strikeouts and just 4 walks in her first 2 outings as a college pitcher. So congratulations to Chloe. You can read more about her at butlergrizzlies.com as well in her honor in the Jayhawk Conference. So congratulations to those local athletes performing well at the next level.
Coming up in 30 seconds here on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit. We'll start getting ready for Super Bowl 58, which you can listen to on Z96.3 Lake with the pregame at 4 o'clock and the kickoff around 5:30 from Vegas. The Chiefs taking on the San Francisco 49ers. That's coming up on Sunday. We'll talk Chiefs when we return in 30.
I'm Elijah at Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit. You depend on your vehicle every day to get you where you need to go. The best way to keep it ready and avoid breakdowns is through proper maintenance. Whether it's oil, fluids, filters, spark plugs, belts, hoses, or brakes, we can help. Give yourself the peace of mind of knowing your vehicle is ready to go. For fast, friendly vehicle maintenance, call Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit. Find us just south of the courthouse or on the web at kieferbrothers.com.
Welcome back to the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit, your home for fast, friendly auto repair. And Derek Thomas passed away on this date 24 years ago today. What number did he wear, Dusty?
58.
And what is this year's Super Bowl?
58.
Wouldn't it be appropriate if the Chiefs won the Super Bowl? Super Bowl 58 in honor of Derek Thomas. Kind of interesting that that happened 24 years ago. Doesn't seem it's like it's been that long. Derek Thomas, one of the best defensive players the Chiefs ever had. Certainly the best pass rusher the Chiefs have ever had. And, boy, he just never had a great offense when he was playing in Kansas City. Always part of really good defenses, but never good enough offense. And so the Chiefs get ready for Super Bowl 58. Patrick Mahomes has been asked many questions already this week. And one of the questions he was asked earlier this week was on making the Super Bowl with the ever-changing rosters.
I think you just got to try to be the best quarterback you can be for your team. I think that's what you've seen with a lot of the great quarterbacks is whatever their team needs, they'll go out there and do. And the roster's always going to change. I explain that to every single player that's here. You never know if you're going to be back in this game again. And so try to maximize your moment, maximize your opportunity, and see what you can do in order to make a memory that will last forever.
And the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl, and, you know, there's some great quarterbacks that never won a Super Bowl, some great quarterbacks that didn't even get to a Super Bowl, and Mahomes, once again, not taking this whole process for granted.
Very grateful, very blessed. I mean, I understand how lucky I am to be in this on this team, to come into a team that was already a winning organization with a winning culture, with a lot of great players, Hall of Fame players, and being able to just kind of jump right in and get in a year where I can learn and learn under Alex Smith. I was blessed, and so I want to maximize these opportunities. I know that they don't always come. You're not going to be in every single Super Bowl. And so whenever I'm here, I enjoy it. I enjoy the week. And then I just try to go out there and play my best football. And like I said a little bit earlier, make a memory that will last forever with a lot of guys that work extremely hard.
So the Chiefs get ready for Super Bowl 58 this Sunday against the 49ers in Vegas. And, you know, one thing that's kind of standing in my head right now from what I've been seeing the last few days is I'm hearing the same exact stuff that was said a year ago, the exact same stuff. That is, a year ago, the Eagle, that Mahomes is great and all, but the Eagles have the better roster. The Eagles have the overall more talent. The Eagles are the better team, and the Eagles should or will win. And we all know they didn't. I'm hearing the exact same thing about the 49ers from various people. The 49ers are the better team. Mm-hmm. They haven't been an underdog all year long. I did love the stuff on social media. The Niners defy all odds to make it the Super Bowl. They were favored in every single game. I guess they defied the odds because they were down 24-7 halftime, beat the Lions, and came back. They defied the odds at home, beating the Packers when they were down in the fourth quarter. I mean, lots of teams can come back. We've seen the Chiefs do it many, many times. So that's interesting, too. But that is the talk, is that the Niners for 53-man roster is more talented than the Chiefs' 53-man roster, which I wouldn't disagree with that, just like I didn't disagree with it last year with the Eagles. But not all 53 players play against the other team's 53 players at the same time. And the Chiefs have tons of Super Bowl experience. The Niners have some from some guys that were there 4 years ago. The Niners have not played extremely well in the playoffs so far. They shouldn't have beaten the Packers. They shouldn't have beat the Lions. And yet they're here. The Chiefs, you know, beat the Bills on the road. They led against the Ravens the entire game. They controlled the game against the Ravens. The Niners didn't control anything at all in the playoffs so far. Like I said, they were, if the kicker for the Green Bay doesn't miss a 41-yard field goal, they might not even win the first round that they played in the divisional round. And then the Lions, it took a fumble and a fluky pass off a defender's helmet for a 51-yard gain for the Niners to beat the Detroit Lions last 2 weeks ago. So, you know, everybody's talking about how great the Niners are, and they are really good. Don't get me wrong. Early in the year, I thought they were the best team in football, and then they lost three in a row, had some injuries. They're relatively healthy going into this one. And then, you know, I thought they'd beat the Ravens. I thought the Chiefs had a chance to still get home field advantage, get the one seed at the time. And the Ravens, I thought, were eventually going to lose, and I was wrong. And the Niners lost to the Ravens. It got beat pretty good in the second half. And the Ravens have what? The number one defense in the league. And they held the Niners in check. The Chiefs had the number two defense in the league. And if they hold them in check, they're probably going to win this game on Sunday. So while I understand all the flashiness, the sexiness of it all, right? That the Niners have Christian McCaffrey, and they have Deebo Samuel, and they have George Kittle, and they have Brandon Ayuk, and they have Nick Bosa, and they have Fred Warner, and they have all these stars, right? Chase Young that they picked up. The Chiefs have stars of their own. It's just that people are a little bit bored by those stars, such as Patrick Mahomes, Chris Jones, Travis Kelce. The Chiefs have stars. Legarius Sneed should be a star the way he played this year. Trent McDuffie is a Pro Bowler, no doubt. He didn't make it this year, but he is a Pro Bowl player. The Chiefs have all kinds of talent. Nick Bolton's outstanding talent. The Chiefs have, you know, Joe Tooney's not going to be playing on Sunday, but he's an all-pro guard. Creed Humphrey has been an all-pro or Pro Bowl center. I mean, the Pacheco's an outstanding running back. I mean, the Chiefs have plenty of talent, too. Are the Niners a little bit deeper in certain positions? Perhaps. Do they have a few more game breakers on offense? Perhaps. But their defense, you can sit here and say, well, they got Bosa, they got Chase Young, they got this, they got that. But statistically, their defense has not been very good the last two games in the playoffs. And I'm not, they could easily figure things out. They have 2 weeks to prepare, no question. But I think there's a lot of people that are overlooking, as we always do every year when we get in the Super Bowl week or weeks. And you have plenty of time not to overlook stuff, but people continuously overlook it. We overlooked the tackles missing for the Chiefs when they lost to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Super Bowl 55. People overlooked this or they overlooked that. And last year we overlooked, or I didn't, but, well, I don't think I did, but certainly there are people just automatically going, the Eagles are the better team, they're going to win. And then, you know what is a great X factor? A punt return that almost scores a touchdown. A defensive touchdown. Because that's what the Chiefs... Think about this for a second. The Chiefs won last year. Were they the better team than the Eagles? Collectively, they were, because they scored basically in special teams, defense, and offense. The Eagles did not. So it was Nick Bolton with the fumble recovery return for a touchdown that really changed that game in the first half, when the Eagles had been moving the ball down the field, you know, meticulously, and they were scoring, it seemed like, at will, and so forth and so on. The Chiefs were a team that basically scored in all three phases of the game last year. So the Niners may be the more talented team. They may be the deeper team. They might have the better 53-man roster. But if the Chiefs go out and get a pick six, that pretty much takes care of that. Or they get a kick return for a touchdown, or a blocked punt for a touchdown, a blocked field goal for a touchdown. Now, the Niners could do the same thing to the Chiefs. Mahomes has not turned it over in the playoffs yet this year, but maybe there's a fumble. I mean, we've seen it before, obviously. A receiver pass on his hands, deflects in the air, could be returned for a touchdown. Any of these things are possible, strip sack, fumble, whatever. But the Chiefs, Spags has 2 weeks to prepare for the Niners, and you know he'll have a plan in place. And Brock Purdy, how's he going to handle the pressure of the Super Bowl? He's never been there and done that. And that's the biggest position of all, is quarterback. Now, Jalen Hurts handled it pretty well last year, and he had never been in the Super Bowl either. Some people could argue he outplayed Mahomes statistically. He did, statistically, but Mahomes came through with the biggest plays and so forth and so on, didn't turn the ball over. So it's, I think it is very easy and convenient to overlook and just say, well, the Niners, look at these guys. I mean, you know, when they're healthy, they don't lose. But they should have lost both of the playoff games they played in. The Chiefs should have won by 10 points against the Bills, had a fumble at the 1 yard line. The Bills did not turn, the Bills didn't give the Bills did not make a whole bunch of mistakes to give the Chiefs the game.
No.
They didn't turn the ball over one single time in that game. The Packers had turnovers and missed a field goal. The Lions kept going for it and not taking 3 points, and had a fumble, and then the crazy fluky pass that hit a defender in the helmet that should have never been caught, that was for 51 yards, that set up a touchdown at the 5. So the Niners are not overwhelmingly better than the Chiefs. And the line is, what, 1.5 to 2.5 points in this game? And it may be higher if it wasn't for Mahomes playing for the Chiefs. And experience, I think, is important. It's not the all be all in regards to winning a Super Bowl, because we've seen teams without experience win Super Bowl before. I mean, the Chiefs, their first year, they won the Super Bowl against the Niners. They didn't have Super Bowl experience. Of course, the Niners really didn't at that time either. So I'm just looking at this game, and I'm saying to myself, and maybe I'm trying to convince myself into feeling a lot better about it, but The Niners might be due to have that breakout performance and play great. The Chiefs offensively, I don't feel like have played a four-quarter outstanding game all year long. The defense has been solid. I should expect the defense to continue to play well. I should expect Mahomes to play well. And I should expect the Niners to be a good team that's going to push the ball down the field, and they'll take a few shots. But when you look at the biggest position of all, Brock Purdy versus Mahomes, you got to say advantage Mahomes and the Chiefs. If you look at experience, you got to say advantage Mahomes and the Chiefs. If you're looking at coaching, you got to say advantage Andy Reid and the Chiefs. If you're looking about having 2 weeks to prepare, you have to say Andy Reid and the Chiefs. If you want to go with history, rematches in the Super Bowl where a coach takes on the same coach he beat the first time, every time before, the previous three times, the rematch, the coach that won the first time won the second time, that's going for the Chiefs. And the Chiefs are in a venue they're familiar with. Mm-hmm. They played in Vegas already. They play the Raiders. I don't know, man. I'm just sitting there, and I know the Chiefs are going to have to play extremely well to win. I think the Niners are absolutely legitimate. But I remember them talking about how great the Eagles' defense was, how's Mahomes going to be standing at the end of the game, and the Eagles got zero sacks. Remember that?
Yeah.
The Chiefs' offensive line can't hold up against this Eagles' defensive front. And it was actually the Chiefs' defense that had the biggest play of the game, which was a strip sack fumble recovery for a touchdown by Nick Bolton. I think similar thing could happen in this game, where both teams play well, but the Chiefs' defense makes a play that determines the game. Or it might be, you know, who knows, maybe Kadarius Toney is returning punts in this one. I doubt it. But maybe Rich James has a big punt return for the Chiefs. So it is interesting to me that there are so many people saying the exact same thing they said prior to last year's Super Bowl, and that is, I mean, you just change the team name. That's all you're doing. The Eagles are better. The Eagles are deeper. The Eagles have a better pass rush. The Eagles have this. They have that. Well, first of all, statistically, the Chiefs have a better pass rush than the Niners. Secondly, the Chiefs have better defense than the Niners statistically, so you're overlooking some things there. Mm-hmm. And yes, the Chiefs have Mahomes, but offensively they're not as good as they were a year ago against the Eagles, something that maybe people are overlooking as well after they played a little bit better the last couple weeks. But at the end of the day, I'm sitting here, I'm like, the Niners are not invincible. And I love the fact that people keep talking about how the Niners are just the better team, the more complete team. Well, guess what? That's what they said about the Ravens going into the AFC title game. How'd they work out? That's what people said about the Bills. How did that work out? Buffalo and Baltimore in Cancun watching on television this weekend, okay? And what they say, they said the same thing about the Eagles. So I kind of like where the narrative is going. I just wanted to point out how similar it is.
Yeah. No, I like that too. I don't want to go into a game where people are saying, hey, the Chiefs are the best team all around and
that's
have
what happened with the Buccaneers.
Yeah, and it did. And they saw them beat the Buccaneers early in the year, right? And so they were kind of leaning on that, and the focus was definitely on Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Obviously, Tom Brady was in that game, so there was a lot of focus on that too, so that pulled some of it away. But, you know, I'm looking at this game, and I you know, would have said probably a lot of the same things that the media is saying right now about the 49ers. If you'd asked me middle of the season, or definitely beginning of the season, when the Chiefs were having a couple things where they were trying to figure things out, I definitely would have agreed with them at that time, right? But right. You get to this point of the season, and you see what the Chiefs have actually done in the playoffs now and kind of turned things around a little bit from the aspect of getting at least the offense going more than they were at times during the regular season. And then the defense, obviously, like you said, statistically better than the 49ers. The game, listen, when I say this, I don't mean at quarterback, but as far as this matchup, it seems just like kind of the opposite of the first time the Chiefs and 49ers played, right? Like everybody was talking about how dynamic the Chiefs' offense was, right? And the 49ers had this great defense. And kind of looking at this game this year, you're talking about how dynamic the 49ers offense can be with all the weapons that they have. And again, I'm not talking about quarterback with Mahomes and Purdy, because everybody knows Mahomes better than Purdy, but the Chiefs defense is what we're talking about being really, really good. And so it's kind of just a little bit different. And you know, the strong points of each one of these teams going into the Super Bowl is the opposite of what it was last time the two teams played, and in my eyes anyway. And so you look at it, and I know the 49ers defense is good, but it's not as good as that defense that they've had in Super Bowl 54.
I agree with you.
I don't think anyway. And so it's going to be a matchup where I completely agree with you. I mean, if the Chiefs defense can make a play here, and you know, if they have, you know, the touchdown like they did last year, that would be tremendous. But if they have a play like they did last week against Baltimore, or 2 weeks ago against Baltimore, right, just knock the ball out at the goal line and not let them score, right? Mm-hmm. Like any kind of play the defense makes, get a pick in the end zone on another possession, you know, anything like that that's going to negate points for the 49ers would be just as good as getting your own points, right, on defense. So, I just like the way the defense is going into this, and I think it's probably going to be something that's overlooked all the way up until kickoff for this Chiefs team.
I think so, too.
Just because of everybody wants to talk about the shiny parts of everything.
Exactly. Right? And usually you get distracted by the shiny parts, and it's the nuts and bolts that actually are the key to winning the football game. I just saw this, and it's interesting. This pops up on my Twitter feed just at this moment. But, you know, we go back – and you look at, you know, we've talked about this numerous times, when the Chiefs decided to hand the keys to Patrick Mahomes and drive the car in the organization, there are people that were worried, oh my God, we had the number one rated quarterback, Alex Smith, what are we doing? And it's like, dude, Mike Smith's taking as far as we can. In fact, I was so frustrated with the Chiefs organization, I had like a uniform and jersey wear off and had people vote whether I should change my allegiance from the Chiefs to some other team. And that popped up on my memory the other day. And at the end of my comment, I said, in Mahomes, I trust. Little did I know how much I truly did. But there was, you know, I think there's a play. For me, it was definite. I already felt pretty good about Mahomes, a lot better than some other people did. But the first play where you just went, oh, dear God, this guy's different. In an NFL game, oddly enough, and I remember where I was sitting. I was sitting at a restaurant with my youngest son at the time there in Wichita. And we were watching the game. Is when Mahomes ran all over the field, remember this, in the red zone against the San Francisco 49ers at Arrowhead, and threw a dart in the back corner of the end zone to Chris Conley, for a touchdown. It was a third and goal play. Chiefs went up 21-7. It was a second quarter play. And that was, as soon as when I saw that play, I'm like, dude, this guy's absolutely different. And I, at that point, I felt like, oh yeah, there's no doubt in my mind this is the guy. That play just, I was like, oh, dear Lord, that's insane. And I bet I'm not the only one that felt that way.
Absolutely not. If you ask me blind what the play was that made you think, this is the dude, it's the 49ers play.
And it was the 49ers play. Then, oddly enough, then they meet him in the Super Bowl a few years later, and they beat the Niners in the Super Bowl with Wasp, with that long throw to Tyreek Hill on 3rd and 15. Last year, they went to San Francisco. People thought the Niners might be the better team. And Mahomes and the Chiefs offense put up 44 on a defense that was supposed to be so awesome. And that's one of the – I think they were the number one defense at the time. Remember, Mahomes is now 7-0 against number one defenses in his career. Mm-hmm. Add the Baltimore playoff win to that list. 7-0 against number one defenses. So too bad the Niners aren't the number one defense going into this one, because the Chiefs would win. But, I mean, he's had the Niners' number. He's beaten them 3 times. Beat him in the Super Bowl, beat him at Arrowhead, beat him in San Francisco. He's beat him everywhere. And now he can beat him in Vegas. I mean, why not beat him in Sin City?
Yeah.
So it is interesting that, you know, the play that really put him on the map, I think, for a lot of people across the country and got Chiefs fans drooling like I was that play, oddly enough, against the San Francisco 49ers his first year as a starter. And here we are, full circle. Chance to get a repeat, win a third ring in 4 years, and standing in the way is the team that he had that first iconic play against, the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah. It's all that play was like all the things that are never supposed to work in the NFL, that all did. Wrapped into one.
Yes.
Like, you're throwing it late, you're running for your life all the way from one end of the field to the other, spinning backwards and then going back the
Not
other way.
Not setting your feet, throwing on the run.
Yeah, I mean, it was all stuff that that was concerning as a Chiefs fan when they drafted him, right? Like, he does all this stuff, he's not going to be able to make that throw at this
thing.
The safety's going to be too good, he's not going to be able to get
it
through.
The defense is faster and quicker.
And, you know, I bought into some of that.
Sure.
Because I thought he'd make more mistakes than he has. And
right.
And it's like, but it's just when a guy is different, he's different. And, you know, you don't buy into that anymore because you've seen him play and make it to 4 Super Bowls now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. Hope the Chiefs can pull it off. And if they do, they'll put that concrete stamp on Dynasty if they go back-to-back. Super Bowl 58, Z96.3 Lake, pregame at 4 o'clock, kickoff 5:30. Listen to it this Sunday.